Alrighty. So topic at hand we're going to discuss today is it conceivable to use artificial intelligence or robots or machinery to do or a mitzvah or create an object which is used for a mitzvah? So let's say I ask you, could you have a robot or a machine or computer write a Sefer Torah? You could see why you would want to have one, right? Any mistakes, if you program it appropriately, you don't have to worry about any of those. You could give all the specifications, write each letter perfectly with all the dikdukim. What obstacles might there be halachically?
Lishma.
Lishma, okay, so that's a big one. Can if you if a machine does something and it receives instructions from a person, is that considered lishma? Anything else? Aside from the Shema, that's a good one.
There's no chiyuv for a machine.
Good.
And therefore, usually we say bar chiyuva has to be involved with these types of things.
Meaning bar chiyuva, I would maybe you need ma'aseh adam for certain things. It's only considered ksiva. It's only considered writing if a person does it. Robots aren't people. Or are they? So in order to address this issue, we'll start from the century and a half old matzah controversy, and we'll take it from there. So first, a bit of historical background. So matzos for centuries were made by the people who ate them. Usually you wanted to eat matzah, so you baked it yourself. That's the Mishnah Aruch mentions. And you would eat it, the matzahs that you yourself baked. Eventually, that became more difficult. Everybody could bake their own matzahs, not everyone knew how. And then it evolved into a communal baker who was supervised by rabbis and who would advocate for his kashrus. And with the advent of the Industrial Revolution, so eventually a matzah baking machines were developed. So in 1838 was the first one. It was made by Isaac Singer in France. And shortly after that, another one was made in about 1857 in Vienna. And these machines weren't particularly advanced. What they did, the machine would essentially roll the matzos. It would perform that. Then eventually it would go from those rollers into a tray, at which point a person would put the tray of dough into the oven. So it wasn't completely automated. However, it certainly expedited the process. There are various reasons for people adopting this minhag. Number one, it saved time. Workers were very hard to find who could be scrupulous with all the laws of baking matzo. It wasn't easy, and with the advertising, people would advocate for the values of that generation. Our factories are clean, and you don't have to worry about any germs, and they're efficient. And so, when this was originally introduced in Vienna, it was met with not much controversy. In the United States, it also got to St. Louis, and there were matzah bakeries there. And also, it was generally accepted until it got to Austria-Hungary. And there, it was met with quite some opposition. This was quite a enthusiastic argument. So if you take a look at source number one, you'll see what I mean. This is from the Gerer Rebbe. It's a little excerpt from a quote of his. He says as follows: "Adavar shelosam odos hamatos l'chag Pesach hayadei machine hineni maskim le'eser." Fine, I am agreeing that it is forbidden. V'Hashem yatzil et amo mi'otan Hashem shluchei yeter hara. God should save us from these people who are the messengers of the yeter hara. Talmidei Rava ben Avot. These people who made these machines, they are trying to prevent us from doing every single mitzvah, little by little. They want to uproot everything. I found this hilarious. Here you have these people who made some matzah baking machines, and he's saying they're trying to get you to not do every mitzvah. It's the Yetzer Hara, it's evil. Kanarabba, lil ma'aseyan. So, number one, it's the opposition to anything new, innovation. You're changing things, you're doing it a way it wasn't always done. It's scary. But the primary opponent of this movement, the book starts on number two, is Shlomo Kluger. And he actually wrote something called Modah LeBeit Yisrael. He gathered a number of different rabbanim, including the Ger Rebbe, who all signed on to oppose this practice of baking matzos through the machine. So here he enumerates a few problems. We'll go through them one by one quickly. He says, it's not right. Lios gozel aniyim. You're stealing from the poor. Asher einayim nesuos alzeh, ki mina ezer azeh, shem ozer mitzos, yeshem sad gadol otzos a pesach hamarubim ne'aminu. This is how they get the money for Pesach. This is by these poor people who go to work on these in the matzah bakery and do everything by hand. That's how it was always done. And they'd use that for their parnasa to buy things for Pesach. And you're stealing their parnasa. It's stealing. Problem one. That's more of a meta problem. We're not going to spend as much time dealing with. Although the response to that, which we'll see, the Shaul Meshiv, who was also a very prominent Torah scholar, and many other Torah scholars were on board with machine matzos, which was a big controversy. A lot of very prominent rabbis on both sides arguing very vehemently. So he says, wait, I don't understand. So if you have a lot of poor people that live, you know, rely on you, you can't bake your own matzot. You make the same argument for baking your own matzot. Well, you shouldn't be able to make your matzot because people are relying on you for you to go to the bakery and bake matzos. So, he says that, and Rav Shlomo Kluger brings a raya from Mikra Megillah, that when we read the Megillah, we read it, we don't read it on Shabbos, because we want the poor to be able to go to Mikra Megillah and collect tzedakah, because Einayim Shalaniyim Nesuos to Mikra Megillah. Right, the eyes of the poor are raised toward Mikra Megillah. And so he says back, wait, what do you mean? That's specifically Mikra Megillah, because Mikra Megillah mentions what does Mikra Megillah mention in relation to the poor? Matanos Levionim. So to read about Matanos Levionim and then to not make it available for the Levionim would be hypocritical. But to say that you can never do a mitzvah if in any way that precludes Aniyim from making money off of it, no one ever said such a thing. The second thing he says is, this is what we'll spend more time on. He says, if you look at Echad, then he gives three reasons which are halachic reasons, not, you know, meta concerns. That in order to, it won't work to fulfill your obligation if you use machine matzah. Why? Even if, he argues, even if a chere shota and katan bake matzah, even that's insufficient. Why? They don't have knowledge. They don't have the ability to think appropriately. V'Yisrael omel agav nami lo mahani. That's a typo. And that doesn't work. And Yisrael, which we'll get to in a minute, the idea of a qualified gadol, a qualified Jewish person watching over them, that's not sufficient. In kei machine zelo adif mi ma'asem ma'aseh katan. This is no better, the machine is no better than a child. So you're lacking lishma. You're lacking, there's a requirement, we'll investigate, there's a requirement you have to bake the matzo for a particular purpose, and you don't have that if you use the machine. Okay, quickly, we'll just do the second and third one size. There are really more practical concerns. Number two is that there's going to be chametz. He says, well, you know, how do we prevent dough from becoming chametz? What do we do while they're in the bakery? What do they do with it? They're constantly dealing with it, right? They're always kneading it and shaping it, and there's always someone doing something with the matzah, based on what the Gemara says. Well, he says, well, maybe it only works if human hands are involved with it. But who says that a machine will slow the process of chimutz? To which Rav Yosef Shalom Levinson says back, but it's not only through a machine. It's not like it's magic here. There are people using the machines. Why would a metal tool be any worse than a wooden tool, which is always used? Like, why is your rolling pin better than the metal rollers in the machine? It shouldn't make a difference. Number three, he has another issue here where he says that the matzot, the Gemara in Pesachim, says that there's a gzeira against putting matzot in a press to shape them. Why? Because people will say, well, you know, maybe only matzot made in a press, a defus, is kosher. Maybe if you make matzot outside of a press, that's not good enough, and that will make mimotzi laws on other matzot. It's going to give other people a bad reputation who don't make their matzot in a press, and machine is a press, and people are going to say, if you don't make your machine matzot, they're not kosher, and so you can't do it. So if you look at number three for a second, again, just to highlight the how intensive a debate this was. So this is the Torah Meshav. He says, "Lo yadati masach." I don't know what these people are talking about. Atu, chashav shemashin nasadei kishuf. He thinks the matzah is made through sorcery. He thinks it's witchcraft, right? Shemashlichim isa lasha meskaga meelav benola de isa gedoli. Things like poof, you throw the matzah in the machine, and you know, hocus pocus becomes a matzah. What is he thinking? Hey. He says, "Halo harbim neyodam bali koach megagam valgalgal." Many people, using their strength, are turning the wheel, which makes the process go. It's not magic, so they have the intention. Shenerach adim atzgdola. So, in terms of the issues regarding chimutz and tfus, those are not less relevant to the general concept. But what I do want to talk about and focus on is this concept of lishma. Right? The concept of the Shema, fellow. Oh, thanks. That matzos require a certain type of kavana, intention, and how does a mechanical process address that? So, just to review what we said just a minute ago, how did the Shol Meshev address that issue? Why is it not a little small problem?
Because there are people involved.
Because there are people involved, right? So the thing is, the matzah machines, the matzah baking machines that were used in the time of the Shalom Meshav are much different than the ones that we use today. Because even in his time, although there was a mechanical process, it wasn't fully automated. So you still had people turning wheels, you had people putting things in the oven. Nowadays, we can fully automate the entire process. Like, literally all you need to do is push the button. And then the whole, you know, you have machines dumping the dough in and kneading it and rolling it and shaping it. And it was really, this. And then you go, it's a very fascinating history how Manischewitz really, her Manischewitz really perfected this system and advertised it. And he had a whole program that he implemented. But the whole thing is now automated. So how would we address this issue today? So that is so what do we do about this issue? Okay, so the lishma problem is what we're going to focus on. So taking a step back, what is this idea of lishma? What exactly do you need to do in order for matzah to be lishma, and where does it come from? Okay, so taking a look at the pasuk here in source number four, it says Yishmartem es ha-matzos ki be'etz mayom hazeh hotzisi etzivos echem meretz Mitzrayim. Right, you have to watch the matzah. You must guard the matzah. Why? For in the midst of that day, I took your legions out of Egypt, and you shall observe this day for generations forever. Fine. So we have this obligation to watch the matzah, hence the obligation of matzah shemura, shemura matzah. That's what you need for in order to be yotzei the mitzvah. And there was an argument in the Rishonim when at which point in the process must a person watch the matzah from? Is it from the time that you harvest it? Is it from the time that you knead it? All of these are, this is a debate amongst the Rishonim. But be that as it may, there is a requirement to watch the matzah. That is not all, though. So if you look at the Mishnah Psachim, Parakei, Mishnah Hay, Parak B is Mishnah Hay, rather, in source number 5, the Mishnah says as follows, Chalos Toda Rekike Nazir. So we have certain karbanos which require matzah. So if you have the chalos toda, you had the bread of associated, brought with the carbon todah, or rikike nazir, and the loaves of a nazir. So you made essentially matzah for a carbon, or you prepared it kehalacha to satisfy the requirement of bringing that matzah with a carbon. Does that suffice for matzah b'leil seder? Right. So you're already bringing a carbon todah. And then you get all the bread together, get the animal together, and then you realize, oh, wait, you know what? It's Pesach. Let me save the matzah for Pesach. Is that permissible? So the Mishnah says, Asan latzmo, if you made them for yourself, in yotzin bahen. So then you can't use them. Asan limchor bashuk yotzin bah. However, if you made the matzah to sell it in the marketplace, then it's okay. Okay, so why is that? Look at the Gemara, source number 6. Chalos todah berkike nazir. Mina hani mili. How do we know that this is not sufficient? Amar Abba de Amar Kra ushmartem es ha-matzos. You have to watch the matzah. Matzah ha-mishta meres leshem matzah. We require matzah which has been watched for the sake of matzah. Yatzazu she'em mishta meres leshem matzah el leshem zevah. Which is to exclude this type of matzah, the chalot todah rikike nazir, for they have been watched not for the purpose of matzah, but for the purpose of the sacrifice. So what is the problem with chalot todah? Why can't you use your matzah from your carbon todah? What is it lacking?
Some lishma.
You didn't watch it for the right reason. So the question is, it's the same, you're still going to make sure there's no chametz, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it has to, you need chalot matzah, you need matzah. So why should it matter whether or not it's for todah or for nazir or for matzah? It's the same object, it's the same food, substance. So it says Rashi, source number 7, Ushmar tem esah matzos, avid le shmir le shem matzah. What does that mean? Kol shimor ta shata mishamra shol ta chachmetz. Any type of watching which you perform in order that it should not become chametz, hitkavein l'shem matzah shel mitzvah. You have to have intention that you are watching it for the sake of the mitzvah of matzah. That has to be on your mind while you watch to make sure that does not become chametz. Right? Yatzas Zu, the lava shem matzah shel mitzvah pesach avid la, because you didn't watch it in order to be used for the mitzvah of achilas matzah on leil seder. Rather, el l'shem matzah shel zevach. What did you watch it for? You watch it to be used as a matzah for a karban. So, and therefore, if you, the Gemara says, if you had watched the matzah in order to sell it, if you were a chalot todah salesman, right? And that's what it was on the market. Anybody in the karban todah? I have your matzahs right here. If nobody you have in mind, mitchila, that if nobody is going to buy it, you have leftover product, so then you have in mind that if it's not sold, I will use it for matzah shel mitzvah. That's the Gemara's assumption. Okay? So you have in mind both, and that's sufficient to fulfill this requirement. But be that as it may, you see that we have a requirement, not just that we watch the matzah in order to make sure it doesn't become a chametz, but rather we have to watch the matzah with the intention of using it, l'shem ha-mitzvah. And this is the problem of the Rav Shlomo Kluger. Because if you need to do that, can that be done if it is being manufactured via a machine? And just to point this out, another thing you reference here, look at the Sheltos, in source number 8, this is Rav Chaigon, and this is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, Goy Ocheresh Shotev Katan, the Lab name Shimon Nenu. You have a non-Jew or a deaf person, someone with mental instability, or a child that are not capable of watching the matzah. Why are they incapable? Because, well, you could have argued either because you can't trust them, but it's also because they don't have the right mental capacity to think about the right intention while watching it. So, Eina, so B'nai Shimon Enu, Eina Lasha Isa. They shouldn't need the dough. Goy Cher Shod of Katan, Avgar Dafin Yisrael Bardea, Vavid Shimor B'shasa Fia, Onavi De Chobse. And if they needed the dough, even if a Jew who is someone that's a bar dea, who has a normal person, who has the appropriate mental capacity to do shimor, even if they put the matzah in the oven and bake it, it's not good enough because you lack shimor b'shas lisha. It's ma'akid. You can't use it l'shem matzah mitzvah. So how do we deal with this, right? What would you think? We have, so let's just say our modern machine, you press the button, you have everything in the system already, and then the flour is dropped into one place, and then another machine mixes the flour with the water, and then the next machine, it's a conveyor belt, and then everything is done without you touching the matzah. No human involvement. So how do you solve the tishma problem? What would you say? You built the machine lishma. So when you actually built it, it was lishma. And that should be sufficient. That's pretty far removed. See, I built the machine last year, even though I baked the matzah a year later, that should be sufficient. Okay. Any other thoughts?
Pause the process I do so often and open up the machine and have a Jew do something and then close it back and click resume.
You gotta do that. Well, that's going to really slow down production.
A little bit.
But I hear, okay, you could do that. You have to. Okay, so first option is Gadol HaOmid Al Gabav, and we'll start with matzah, but this is going to venture out to other mitzvot also. What if I have somebody that, generally, let's say I have someone who is not a bit bardas, he is lacking the halachic capacity to make decisions and have the right intention. What if I have an adult watching them during the process? Does that change the equation? So if you look in source number 9, the Gemara says as follows. It's Mishnah first, actually. Hakol k'sherim nechtov etagei. Anybody can write a divorce document. Afilu cheresh shotev v'katan. Even our magic 3, cheresh shotev v'katan always go together. A deaf person, someone lacking mental capacity, and a child. So just going to the Gemara here. Ask the Gemara, obvious question. What's that? Halav nedaninu. You have to write the get lishma. Right, the cost of law, lishma, you, at least according to the shita that Eidim Masira Karsi, you are required to write the get with the intention for gerishin, even for the particular man and woman involved. If these people can't think appropriately, so how can we allow them to write a divorce document? So that says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, who? Sheyiya gadol omid agabav. That is only if you have an adult watching them, standing behind them while they do it. Apparently, that is sufficient. You have someone who can, indeed, think of the appropriate intention while they are fulfilling this halachic process, in this case, a get, the ksivas get, writing a divorce document, that is sufficient. Even though they themselves, the writers, are not b'nei dea. Right? So then, maybe I could argue that even if the machine can't have the proper attention, right, because it's a machine, but what about if I, while this is happening, or you, any of us, any qualified adult, does have that intention as this process is taking place? Maybe we can apply Gadol HaOmid Al Gabav. Right? Thoughts? Observations? Okay, Shtika Koda. Everyone's satisfied. The problem is, okay, so actually let's continue the Gemara for a second. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Nachman, Lamiata, Ovi Kochavim, V'Yisrael, Omid Al Gabav, Ha'achanam, Nekasher. What if I have a non-Jew write the get? What's the problem with that? Same thing. Gadol HaOmid Al Gabav. You have a qualified adult who is standing and watching right behind them. V'Chitim Ha'achanam. You'll tell me you're right. Okay, fine. Let's have the non-Jew write the get. No, Vatanya Obeka Chavim Puzzle. He says in a Braita that a non-Jew or idolater who writes a get is invalid. So how do we have? So what's the difference between an Obeka Chavim who is capable, right? Even of thinking, they just aren't familiar with the laws of Gittin and Kedushin, and a child. So Obeka Chavim Adaydei Denafshei Ava. No, because an Obeka Chavim will do what he wants, essentially. Meaning, since he has an independent, it's not that he doesn't have knowledge Ovi Gachom can think. It's that he thinks for himself. And therefore, the mechanism of Gadol HaOmed Al Gabav, which can provide the necessary and required intent for someone who lacks intent, will not work for an Ovi Gachom, because an Ovi Gachom has his own das.
It only works with someone of inferior mental capacity.
Right. Sounds like it. Someone who thinks for themselves, it won't work for. So the question again is going to be, how does Gadol HaOmed Al Gabav work? What exactly does it do, and when does it work?
That's a pretty big insult.
Is it an insult? So the question is, I think in a sense it's a compliment. The point is the Ovi Gachom can do what he wants.
Yisha.
No. A different category. Eisha kotev lagita. Cheir shod v'katan. Now you might say it's talking to the cheir shod and katan. Okay, that's a fine. We can talk about that. But to the Isha can write a guy. To the Ovi Gachom, it's not that they don't have they lack the mental capacity to write a guy. It's just they have their own decision. They do things for themselves. So the question is, what exactly that means? Furthermore, if you look at source number 10, we have a problem. Big problem with this Gadol HaOmed Al Gabav idea. Why? That is Gemara Chulin. The Kulon Sheshachtu V'achem Ro Motach Shitatang Chera. It says, everybody, this is according to Mishnah and Chulin, everybody who does Shita, who slaughters an animal, and others watch them, Shitatang Chera, the Shita is good. Fine, perfect, makes sense. But what does the Gemara say? Mantana de lo bayinin kavana shchita. Who is the Tana? Who is the one that taught that we do not require intention for shchita, for slaughtering? Amarava Rabbi Natan hi. It's Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan doesn't require kavana for shchita, and therefore anybody can do shchita. What is the problem with this Gemara? Byron, what do you think, Byron? Okay. If I would have asked you, why is it that anybody can do shchita if others see them? What would you have responded? Anyone, a katan, a cheresh, a shota, anybody could have done can do shchita as long as someone's watching. Why is that okay? What would you say? What would you say, Chaim?
Well, if you don't need kavana, the question is you needed a gadol HaOmed Al Gabav. Sounds like you don't. Sounds like that's the exception. Right.
Meaning, instead of saying, well, this is the opinion which doesn't require kavana, what could have the Gemara said? No. You're right, you need kavana for shchita, but you have gadol HaOmed Al Gabav, and that suffices for the requirement of kavana. Why doesn't the Gemara say that? So this is a big problem, which the Rishonim address. They're also bothered by this problem. Take a look at Tosfos in source number 11. Tosfos says, Tema, the Mashmah HaLacha Decher Shodei Kavan, Lab Nei Kavanah Ninhu. Afilo Acher Om Demagaban. Sounds like here that Acher Shota and Katan are not people capable of having the appropriate intention to fulfill a halachic process, even if others are standing right behind them and watching them. Stira, it's a contradiction. Can a chere shota and katan perform a halachic process with supervision, adult supervision? We have a contradiction between chulin and gittin, between the mitzvah of slaughtering and the mitzvah of writing a get. So what do we do? Kant says Tosos, not so fast. It's not really a contradiction. It doesn't make a fundamental distinction. He says they're different cases. The Yishomar begadol HaOmed Al Gabav, hanushem, and it's actually important in terms of informing us the mechanism here. Shemelam din otan umasir notam lasot lishma. Gadol HaOmed Al Gabav means you tell the person as they're doing it, has to do it lishma. Right? So let's assume we can apply this to matzah, right? You have a katan, you know, watching the matzah, kneading the matzah, and he has his rolling pin, he's hurrying up, and you have the galt saying, psst, remember to do it lishma, l'shem matzah. Right? And that's why it works. That's Gadol HaOmed Al Gabav. It doesn't mean that here what's happening. No one's watching them, communicating with them, informing them. They're just there. They see. They're there to see that it was done appropriately in a valid way, but they're not informing them as to the appropriate kavana necessary. Meaning, essentially, what's the answer? Gadol Omega Agabav works. That's not what's happening in Chulin. It's just not what's happening. When the Gemara said, Misha says, V'achirim ro'en otam, that other people see them, it doesn't mean that they're Omega Agabav. They're not standing behind them, instructing them, reminding them. They're just observing that they do it appropriately. There's no communication. And Gadol Omega Agabav requires communication. So again, at this point, Tosos, Gadol Omega Agabav, you're good. However, it's not going to work if you don't communicate. Now, back to our particular case, I would argue that if Tosos is right about the nature of this mechanism, can we help our machines? I don't know. Probably not. You can't communicate with the machine, right? It's not going to go. You tell the machine, remember to do the matzah, l'shem matzah, it's not exactly an effective form of communication. Now we could argue, about what if you had a real, computer or a humanoid making the matzah, maybe that would be sufficient. Because then you can program them and communicate to them. It's interesting. However, so that's what Tosfos says. There's another problem, however, we'll say it outside. Tosfos, for inches of time, Tosfos quotes Gemara in Yibamos regarding Chalitza. What's the problem with Chalitza? The problem is that it says that a katan can't do chalitza. And it says that a chirish and a katan can't do chalitza. Okay, great. That makes sense. Perfect, right? Because that would make sense. They don't have b'nei das. But it doesn't say that's why. It says the reason they can't do it is for another reason. Agzirat akasav, it says ish. It says that you need to read, right? You need to be korei. The psukim associated with chalitza, and a deaf person, a deaf mute, can't do that. Why does the Gemara give a different reason? So he says, well, it's because in that case also the beis din is there during the chalitza process, and they are like gedolim homdim agabav. They provide that kavana by instructing the chirish and the katan who are involved in the chalitza. Problem is that a shota cannot do chalitza. Sounds like that at all. So why not? Why can't a beitin help a shota, right? Meaning we have a gzeirat hakasav why a katan can't do chalitza. We have a gzeirat hakasav why a chirish can't do chalitza. What about a shota? A shota is an ish. A shota can read. They can say the right words. And we're arguing that gadol omeda gabav is sufficient. So what's wrong with a shota? Tosfos says no, because a shota, they're particularly incapable of having the right intention. Meaning a shota, that their problem is that they don't think appropriately, or Rachman Litzlan, unfortunately. Therefore, even if you have gadol omeda gabav, that's not gonna work. However, a katan and a chirish with a gadol omeda gabav will work. So that's a big chiddush by Tosfos. It's not exactly the smoothest approach to this sugya. Because according to Tosfos here, you don't usually distinguish between chirish, shota, and katan. Usually, all go together. Here, Tosfos is making a distinction. He says, however, that in case of Gittin, it does work. Why? Because in Gittin, it's mukhla mil sitfei, davalishma. Right? Because at the end of the day, if they're writing a get, they need to write the names of the men and women involved who are getting divorced. So if they're clearly doing it for that purpose, it seems to prove that they're doing it for the sake of Gerishin. So in that unique case, we have this hochacha, says Tosfos, it would be sufficient. Be that as it may, Tosfos essentially says gadol omeda gabav works, requires communication, maybe with a few exceptions in the case of shota, unless you have a hochacha. Take a look at the Rashba in source number 12. This is Shura Rashba, Chelek Aleph, Shila Chaf Vav. He essentially quotes his question. His question actually is interesting. It deals with us. It says she'alta mashi yisad apayet ba'zorot ha'petzach. She's asking a question from what? A payet. What's a payet? A poem, a piyut, that they would say on Pesach. Right? He takes it very seriously. There's a line in this piyut that says, Nimna shelo yalush cheresh tov katan v'ger shakafar. Ka'och ha'matze adehem yivosh v'yech par. Right? Very poetic. What's the line? Right? It's, you shouldn't have a cheresh shot or a katan or a kofar, right, a heretic, need your matzah. And if you eat matzah that they prepare, yivosh v'yech par, should be embarrassed and humiliated. That's the line. It's a good rhyme. Even if you are Yisrael Bardeya, even if you yourself are a Jew who has the appropriate mental capacity. So this line, and the question is this right? Is this line from the Piyut right, that if you have somebody watching a Cheri Shota and Katan baking matzot, does that work? That's the question post the Rashba. So Rashba gives three deyot. So first, he quotes the Deya of Tosfot, which we just read, right? Look at the bold there. And he concludes that according to Tosfot, this should be wrong. That a cheresh and a shota should be capable of baking matzot with gadol melag above, but not a katan. Not a shota. Shota is like extremely incapable. So even with Gadol Minag above, it won't work. That is Tosfos. However, as we noted, there were some difficulties with Tosfos, and he quotes his Rabbi, Rabbeinu Yonah. Mizeh harav Rabbeinu Yonah za kasa dechol she'efshar de'shliach beget u'shrita kavanat omid agabav kavanat ha'ose ma'ise. Tahavile kishliach. Very interesting idea. You hear what he's saying? He's saying that when do we say Gadol omid agabav works? Only for something that can be performed via a shliach, right? We have a concept of shlichut, that you can appoint an agent to do certain things for you or to perform certain halachic processes for you. So if it's one of those processes where we have a concept of shlichut, for instance, getin, you can have a shliach write the get, you can have a shliach deliver the get. Since shlichut is a possibility, that's when katan omeil gabav works. It's not practical. It's not, you know, a functional, instructional relationship that's happening. It is a halachic one. That since you can use shlichut, so the qualified adult can provide via shlichut their kavana to the unqualified performer of the action. So if the katan is there writing the get and the doing the writing, the gadol works as their shliach, so to speak, in providing the requisite kavana, and together they can do they can write the get. Okay? However, if you have something like chalitza, you can't do via shlichut, it won't work. Doesn't matter who. Okay? Very interesting. Just a word on this. I found this to be a very interesting concept. Why? And we can think about, should this, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, it opens the possibility of Gadol Omeil Gabav working for machines, right? This is not a communicative process. It's halachic, right? It's halachic. It's that you can split in a shlichut type process, a process which is amenable to shlichut, you can split the responsibilities of Osemasa and Mechavin. Right? So, now, the interesting thing is, a katan can appoint a shliach. A child cannot appoint a messenger.
Right.
So it's not, he doesn't mean it literally. He doesn't literally mean
appointing the child, no?
Well, he says that the shliach, well, number one, a child can't really be a shliach, nor can a cheresh. Mm-hmm. So, number two, the way he says it is, if you look carefully here, so that second little paragraph I had there in Torah 12, Kavana to me agabav ki kavana to ose ma'aseh dehavileg shliach. Right. So it's clearly not literal shlichut. So the question is, how do we understand this? Like, what? How exactly does this work? How do you magically provide the kavana? So the way I understand it is that, well, I think what he's arguing is that when you have when shlichut is a possibility, that means that what's happening is a process more than a definitive act. And you can have partners in that process. The fact that I can appoint you to do the shlichut for me, even though clearly I'm the one divorced. Let's take it's something kedushin, right? Let's say kedushin. It's a happier topic. So I appoint a shliach for kedushin. Okay, the fact that I can, although that's not too romantic either, but that aside, you know, it's not the way to win your wife over. Like, I didn't really want to come and marry you, but I appointed this guy to do it. You know. Anyways, the fact that I can appoint a shliach to do it, even though clearly I'm the one doing the kedushin, it means you can. It's a multi-layered process. There's the halos. There's someone who's actually performing the process, or it's being performed on their behalf, and there's somebody else doing the action, which triggers that result. So that ability for fragmentation opens itself up to we can combine my ma'aseh and your kavana, just like we can combine the shliach's ma'aseh and the chalut can work for me. And it's also my intention to perform the shliach, which enables him to act, or her, to act on my behalf. So too, even in a case where it's not shlichut, I don't think it's actual agency. Again, a katan can't be a shliach or perform a shliach. And even though that's a bit of a more complicated discussion, maybe a katan can do zechiyah, but a chiri certainly can, a shota certainly can. They're disqualified from all sorts of agency. Right. So,
anything.
Right. So, I think the kid point is it's not literal shlichut, right? Again, because if a chereish appointed a shliach to be makadesh and isha for him, to him, it wouldn't work. A chereish can't appoint a shliach. Likewise, if somebody appointed a chereish to serve as a shliach, that wouldn't work either. So it's a very interesting idea by Rabbi Yonah, I think, that does open up more possibilities. Maybe you can, if you assume that it is a maaseh when the machine does it, or at least if you can provide some koach adam into this process, maybe the attention can work.
There's always koach adam making
maaseh. Okay, yeah. So the question is, what is going to be sufficient for that purpose, which we'll hopefully get to. Okay, just to do the left-hand one outside, the Rashba himself says that that's not what it's about, it's about hochacha. Depends upon whether or not we gadol minag above will work when it's muhach mitoch maaseh, when it's clear from what they're doing that they actually understand it, right? So a katan writes a get. The very fact that they were able to write the name of the man and the name of the woman and the whole document indicating that there is a divorce taking place indicates that they did it for the sake of divorce. Sounds like it's almost like it's an exception to this rule. Meaning, yes, they're not b'nei dea, but that lack of das doesn't necessarily preclude them from mishma. And if you have a gadol milag above, and it's clear that they're actually doing it lishma, then we've overcame that hurdle. Mash inkin in a case like, and chalitza also, he says, like, what are you doing otherwise, aside from doing chalitza? You don't just usually walk around doing chalitza to people and spitting at them and reading this wonderful parsha unless you're doing chalitza. But baking matzah, it's not muchach. You might just be kneading dough or watching the dough because you want dough. It's not, there's no hochacha, there's no proof, and therefore he says it wouldn't work. And that's the basis of the Paitan, who had this beautiful line here, right? That whole verse is contingent upon this idea that there's no hochacha. Another idea regarding, if you look at source number 13, this is the Shidon Yomtiv, the Tosfot Yomtiv, Yisrael Yomtov Litman, argues, very interesting, he's talking about tzitzis, right? So we have a lot of different areas where this can be a question. Can you use Gadol Milag Abav for weaving tzitzis? weaving the string of tzitzit, because you need tevi'a lishma. We can argue for Sefer Torah, for ibud, for tefillin. What about if I use a machine to tan the bottom of my tefillin? Is that sufficient? Does that need to be done by a person? So what he argues is very interesting. If you look at the second paragraph. Look at the first paragraph. He says it works for Ktivara Sofer. It won't work for Yidushin, Gershin, or Truma. Separating Truma. Why? There are two types. This is a beautiful idea. Two types of machshava, thoughts that are required by Chazal. One is a thought that demonstrates the nature of the act. Type number one is, you have to do an action. That's what you need to do. What you're doing is an action. However, there an additional requirement beyond just doing the action, the Torah also required you to do it for a particular purpose and to think that while you're doing it, you're doing it for a particular purpose. So there, the kavanah isn't the real process. That's not what's affecting this process. It's the action that's the process. So there's a tenai. There is a requirement that action must be done with appropriate kavanah. That's kavanah as we now normally know it. Right? So we said, when I bake matzah, what do I have to do? I have to knead it. I have to bake it. That's all I have to do. That's the process. But there's an additional requirement. You have to do it lishma. However, there's another type of mashava. He says, if you look, v'yesh mashava, this is the fourth line, shehiba atzma goremet poelet inyan amaseh, where the thought itself is effecting the change. Where part of the very process that you are performing is your intention to do it. So any acquisition, he says, when I sell you something, and in halacha, in order to sell something to another person or give something to another person, you have to do an action. I give it to you. I hand you the object. It's not that handing you the object is what gives it to you. My intention, my decision that I'm making, my ratzon to give it to you is what gives it to you. The only Yom Tov says, when the da'at and kavana, the machshava, is part of the process itself, it is what is affecting the change, gadol omei l'gabav will not work for that. Because somebody else can't want something for you. A person wants to do kiddushin. They want to marry somebody else. They have to want to marry that person. They have to say, I want to marry them. You can't have somebody else want it for you. You can't have somebody else dictate that the reason that you are doing this physical act of baking a matzah is for the purpose of matzah. Achila matzah. So again, if the purpose of the kavanah is in order to affect the change itself, it's part of the process itself, it won't work. If not, then it will work. Okay. So that's Gedolah Melech above, depending on how you understand that. We have different Shitos, we have this Onag Yom Tov, the Rashba, the Rina Yona, the Tosfos. One question we need to figure out in terms of machine matzot or any mechanical process which prepares us to do a mitzvah is, will Gedolah Melech above work? Part one. Okay, we'll have to move a little quickly. Part two. Another idea here, and this is, we'll do the Rifa outside, it's Machlokes between Rifa and his Rebbe, the Ra'ah. Who says this particular matzah? So, the machine is going. It's baking the matzah. I'm standing there watching it. Maybe I can do the shimur. Why are we assuming that I need to provide the kavanah for the baker, or for the machine, or for the katan, or right in the gate? Maybe, in the case of matzah, we don't require asiyah lishma. We don't require you to actually bake the matzot lishma. We require you to watch it lishma. Maybe you can separate those two processes. I can stand there and watch the matzah being baked while the machine is baking it. And I am doing the shimur lishma. I'm providing lishma. And the baking doesn't need to be lishma. So he says, Ritva said you can't do that. He says that never works. Gadol Omid Al Gabav won't work for a non-Jew, he says. However, that being said, the his rabbi argued that maybe it should, but he wasn't willing to say it definitively. He says, La halacha v'lo l'masa. So question two, do you actually need the baking to be done with the Shema, or is Shemor sufficient? Question three, what about Koach Adam? Meaning, even if you'll argue that it's the Shema, maybe for certain processes, it's not enough that you could have Kavana, but you need a person to do it. It needs to have human power involved. So to illustrate this idea, if you look in Chulin, the Gemara here in 15, the Gemara talks about whether or not you can use shochet b'mochni, some sort of wheel with a knife on it that performs shechita. Can that be used? Gemara essentially says, depends. Koach Rishon. Oh, I'm sorry about that. Koach Rishon is sufficient. Koach Sheni is not. That's what it says. Koach Rishon is Koach Adam. Koach Sheni is Grama Be'alma. So the question is, what about when you do the machine matzah? If you look at source number 16, first he argues that, this is with C. Pesach Frank, he argues that maybe it should be a problem. He says, Kfar Divri Bezev, look at the first line quickly, Kfar Divri Bezev, Gedoli Acharonim, Das Machrim, Husha Adim, Machona, Ein Zakoach Adam. V'damu Ki'ila, he's actually talking about tzitzit, V'damu Ki'ilu Nitva Me'ila, V'fosa Me'ila Tzitzit. Right? If the machine weaves the tzitzit, it's as if it was weaved by itself. And therefore, it's insufficient. You need a person to weave the machine. And he says, even if you will say that when you flip the switch, that's Koach Gavra, even if you'll argue that flipping the switch is Koach Gavra, because, you know, that's what affected the process, he says, but eventually, this, you know, and go back to his understanding of electricity, by the time the current flows through the wires and actually performs the weaving, that's koach, that's koach sheni. And it's too far away, he says, and it's removed, which is an interesting discussion how you would deal with that in terms of electricity. However, if you look at the second paragraph here, v'halomer isi b'sefer chazonish, shekata v'chem b'tfiat tzitzi, itava yedei de'eshka alaya bit k'demaya, if it's weaved through a flow of water, a current of water, amachonat shetava, sagi dechem dekoach rishon avi l'shma, hav le'iduch stam l'shma, v'ein tzara koach adam. Once you begin the process with koach adam, and you insert the l'shma into the process, the rest is stam l'shma. The l'shma carries on by itself. All you need is the beginning of the process to be lishma, and that ends up carrying out for the rest of the process. Meaning, he's not saying that the whole thing's koach adam, but since pushing the button is koach adam, that works for lishma for the whole process. Very interesting. And he argues you don't need koach adam. He's arguing you don't need koach adam. You need lishma, and that first flipping of the switch constitutes lishma. Look at Rav Avadia. He argues first that it's not sufficient for Lishma, because it's not Koach Adam, and it's Koach, it's Koach Sheni. However, he argues there. Then he says, but maybe at the very least, since you can use this type of machine for Shechita, so it does work. But then he says, but there's a Koach Kocho. There's another, is Ruach Noshaves. You can't have a different Koach involved. I mean, it's not just that you need Koach Adam, you can't have anything else. So the machine is at least another Koach. However, he says that other poskim do say it's okay, and he argues that you shouldn't use machine matzah for matzah's mitzvah, but if you don't have nothing else, you can make the bracha around those poskim. So we gotta stop, but in summation, whether or not you can use a machine depends on do you think that that Gadol Min HaGabav works? Do you need, can you separate the Osa and the Lishma? And furthermore, will flipping the switch constitute Koach Adam? Thank you.